On this episode of the podcast, we discuss Dracula, colon, untold.
Why would Dracula bother telling anyone about his colon?
What's a podcast?
Everyone, and welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
Hey there, I am Stuart Wellington.
Welcome to the show. I'm Elliot Kalin.
Step right up and listen to a podcast.
You must be this tall to listen to this podcast, but I'm holding my hand very close to the ground. Basically, if you're taller than David the Gnome, go ahead and listen. But if you're David my brother, get the fuck out of here.
Who's this David the Gnome?
David the Gnome was a kids' television show.
Why have you not ever introduced me to your friend David?
No, he's not a real gnome.
I'd like to meet a gnome.
That was
apparently
that
you never thought that me, Dan McCoy, your best pal, would like to meet a gnome.
Well, I tried to introduce you to Norm, a gnome named Norm. And I tried to introduce you to the troll in Central Park, and neither of those were apparently cool enough for you.
Look,
he's just a Connecticut Yankee.
I was
so busy hanging out at King Arthur's court, you don't have time for a pebble and a penguin.
That was a problem. I was burned by that time that you introduced me to that penguin who kept talking about a pebble. I don't care.
I told you that was his thing.
How shiny his pebble is, how much he loves that pebble. It's just a fucking rock penguin.
Oh, and yet fruity pebbles, give me more, please. Fill up my bowl with it.
You're right. Checkmate.
I got you with your pebble hypocrisy.
But that's not
all about the base, no pebble, huh, Dan?
That is an oddly contemporary reference from you, Elliot.
I occasionally go to the supermarket and hear new music there. Playing over the Loudon's speakers.
So, the Loudon speakers. The Loudon Wainwright speakers.
Yep.
So this is a podcast where we watch a bad movie and then we talk about it.
Just three dudes hanging out, shooting the shit.
Chilling. Elliot? Yep. Let me set the scene.
Okay.
Elliot has a big glass of water.
Yep, you know it.
What looks like 8 ice cubes in it.
At least. I like my water cold.
Stu is drinking a Modelo.
Yeah.
And he also has a seltzer? A half-drunk Schweppes off to the side?
Wow, a lot of product placement.
And I'm having a Mezcal Old Fashioned.
It's a drink he invented.
So it's racist. That's what's old fashioned about it?
What?
It's racist, and it says things you're kind of embarrassed about in public.
Yeah, that's why I got to drink it fast.
Get it in your belly where no one can hear it.
Mm-hmm. He's got to cover his head with a sheet, so he deprives all of his other senses from mezcal.
So, Dan, how does this
fit into sitting around a round table like the knights of old.
With our recording equipment like the knights of old, how does this fit into the watch a bad movie and talk about it mission statement, which you put forth to the audience as the reason we do this thing?
I just wanted to paint a word picture. For their minds, their
well, let
word
me tell
interpreting
you, word
minds.
Van Gogh, don't.
Okay, I'm painting a nerd picture for them. Three nerds sitting around a table.
Where you glue a bunch of nerds to a picture.
You mean the candy nerds?
Yeah, not humans.
It happens all the time. Rembrandt's The Night Watch has had nerds glued to it many times.
Remember
the Nerd Watch?
All those versions of Edward Munch's The Scream had nerds, and now they're lost to the ages.
Yeah, yeah. Because termites ate them.
Thankfully, he did a bunch of those.
Had a lot of screaming to do.
Yeah, but we watched a movie called Dracula Untold. It was it was about a Dracula.
it was full of Draculas.
You're right.
The previously untold story of one
ripped from the headlines.
One Gerald B. Dracula. Now here's the thing: the Dracula story is not previously untold. It is quite often told. I don't like the.
I mean, this version hasn't been told before, but it's because it's terrible.
The pretension of the title is: this is the origin of Dracula. That you never heard before, but this is the story of Dracula. This is the untold tale that has been hidden for ages.
Yeah, you had to
nonsense.
Read Stoker's Silmarillion or whatever he wrote.
Yeah, his unpublished works that his son Chris Stoker edited and put out for publication.
It's pronounced Christopher.
Gotta keep making money off my dad's name.
C-R-I-S-S.
Because it's Chris Angel Stoker. He's a mind freak and a posthumous publishing freak. But this is the origin story of Dracula, and this is at first I think it's just going to be a new Dracula movie, and then because the Marvel universe of movies was such a hit, Universal Studios decided, hey, rather than just making use of this Dracula character who's been part of the Universal Monster Library for 80 years now, let's start a monster universe. Because you know what people, you know what, how what operates the same way as superheroes? Monsters.
Now, mm-hmm.
So this became the seed for, I assume, Universal's plans to have multiple monsters.
Is this
movies.
Part of the same universe as I, Frankincense? Is that the same?
No, I think that's a different universe. Okay. I think it's a different studio, possibly, but I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, isn't one the underworld and this is the overworld?
I don't know what that means. But here's the thing.
More like Blunderworld. High five. Come on. Yeah.
Anyway, here's the
thing. Wish you podcast listeners could see the look of pure disgust Elliot just gave me.
At flagrant misuse of a high five, yes. So the thing is, there's a lot of potential in that idea of a shared universe because the Universal Monsters were the original shared universe. They started as separate movies with separate characters. And over time, as Universal tried to wring every last mm-hmm. dime out of these
monsters.
Like
Abbott and Costello would show up.
Costello would show up. Frankenstein would meet the Wolfman. They'd go to the House of Dracula.
Eventually, Bela Lugosi met a Brooklyn gorilla.
It's not related. It's a different movie. But you did have these.
I like the idea, though. Like, they just met, like, at a party. Because, like, it's the actor Bela Lugosi
well,
at that point.
I used to do a stand-up bit about how Japanese monster movies have conflict-based titles. It's Godzilla versus Hedorah, you know, or Godzilla versus King Ghidorah. But with American movies, there's always Frankenstein. Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein. So you're either just at a mixer. Dracula meets the Wolfman. It's like, oh, Wolfman, I've heard quite a bit about you.
You have a lot of shared interests, those two. Mostly
you like
killing.
Drinking blood. I like drinking blood. Yeah. We should hang out.
Wolfmans drink blood?
Well, they
depending
eat
on the folklore, we both don't like silver.
This is we should double
garlic too, maybe. I don't know.
Wolfsbane doesn't do anything for me, but you. Huh?
See, that's why they would want to meet, so they could cover all that shit.
Yeah, so they could compare notes on their monster lives.
On their weaknesses.
Just write them down. Just give it to each other
Let's
so they
make
know.
Make a list and then hide it somewhere so that our monster hunter enemies can't find it. He's becoming a Nazi as I do the voice.
But let's be honest. None of our voices started out that great.
No. All monsters want someone to talk to because otherwise the only one they have to talk to is Bugs Bunny when he's giving them a manicure right before he blows them up. So Dracula Untold is the origin story of Dracula, which the universe has been crying out for very quietly because nobody really cares that much about it. And it's one of a number of different attempts to make Dracula into more of a romantic hero than a force of unmitigated evil and darkness, which is the way I prefer the character personally.
It seems like movies always labor under the delusion that, okay, this character has his name in the title, so we need to make him into a romantic hero.
He must
of some
be
kind.
The hero.
Yeah, rather than just like a mysterious force
and
of darkness.
And this is a character who has a sexual charisma about him. Mm-hmm. Let's just go all the way and make
Boy,
him the good
does
guy.
He.
Rather than having the audience be made uncomfortable by their attraction to this evil.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not against, I guess, Universal trying to go their own way and have...
they can go their own way.
Go
make
their
a
own
Dracula.
Way.
They can tell the Dracula so it's not untold.
Okay.
Running on Dracula. Running not... on. Running on Drax.
Tusk.
He's like the wind. He's biting my neck.
That's not even a Fleetwood Mac song at that point.
That's a Patrick Swayze song.
Patrick Swayze. Were we doing Fleetwood Mac songs?
Wait, you thought the other ones were Patrick Swayze songs?
I thought they were all Patrick Swayze songs. Empty. That
man,
other one, Tusk.
Might had a bat catalog that you cannot
A
deny.
Bat catalog. A bat. That's what Dracula
it's
has.
Dracula. Let's talk about Dracula. What were you going
to
say?
So I like the idea that... So Universal might
from
be trying to establish their own like World of Dracula, but they
that
borrow
was the
so,
exhibit at
but they borrow so
Discovery
heavily
Center,
on
World of Dracula.
They borrow so heavily on like the Coppola 90s movie.
Yeah.
By 2015, Draculas will be all diesel. They will no longer feed on blood.
I mean, he's ripped. He is.
He's super diesel as
he's
it is.
He's Shaq Diesel.
But you're right. They like. It's. I would not mind a totally original take on Dracula, but to have like a half. The same thing that happens with a lot of the movies we watch, where they don't go all the way into originality. They just kind of steal from other places.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as I was saying,
this is like the new RoboCop of Dracula's.
Mm-hmm. While we were watching it, like I'm just tired of revisionist takes on everything. Like it seems like movies that are made these days are just like the idea that we have, oh, we've got a new take on this, and so it's got it's a good take.
You would prefer a new take on it.
Well, no, I mean, it's just like, well,
I mean, admit maybe.
Admit it, Dan.
I would, but why are you interested in the property in the first place?
If it was
called
Dracula Unclothed, you'd be all over it.
I would, but and I've probably watched that movie on Cinemax, but like, you have to look at the property in the first place and be like, why am I interested in this character? You know, and then at that point, just like, it feels like it would be a more original thing at this point to just do a straight up Dracula adaptation and try to do it well.
Yeah, instead of some kind of Draction Hero.
Yeah, yeah, straight up now tell me what's the Dracula story all about, as Paul Abdul sang.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what? How does this movie
work? MC Drac Cat.
What? MC Drac Cat. Opposites bite each other. They fire
not even
him.
Opposites, a Drac, Elliot?
Too obvious. So let's quickly go through the plot as quickly as we ever can on this show.
I take two steps forward, you take two steps Drac.
We come together because opposites attract. You can't run Drac with Drac.
Yeah, that's the problem. We gotta go back to the drawing board on this.
Remember in the '80s when like Demi Moore and Rob Lowe were part of the Drac Pack, and they were the hot young stars who were biting people and sucking their blood out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They could get away with anything back then. Anyway, so we start in the Middle Ages, where we are told about how the Ottoman Empire, to retain the loyalty of its vassal states, takes tributes in the form of children that they train into feared Janissary warriors. One of these, Vlad the Impaler, a prince of Transylvania, who at the time is just called Vlad. He's yet to impale anybody. He is taught to be a feared warrior, and then he eventually becomes the Impaler because that is how that's his thing. That's how he shows off how many people he kills. He impales them. He decides that he doesn't want to be a soldier anymore, and he returns to become Prince of Transylvania. And there, he lives in peace because he pays tribute in the form of silver coins to the Ottoman Turk warlords. He's out with his scouting party one day, his best buds, his merry men, if you will, and they find its trail.
Bunch of blonde guys, basically.
Yeah, because this being Transylvania in the Middle Ages, they're all blonde or English-looking and have English accents. Mm-hmm. Very historically accurate.
It's guys on their lunch break from the set of that Vikings TV show.
It does feel at times like they shot it
Vikings.
Like they shot it as a lark in between
it's
Vikings.
It's not called
scenes.
That Vikings TV
no,
show.
No, it does not follow the That 70s Show titling rubric.
But and, what if it did?
And Dracula, we should mention, or Vlad, is played by Luke Evans, a Flophouse 3-peater, I believe.
Yeah, he was one of them musketeers.
He was a musketeer and he was an immortal, right?
Yeah.
And he's Bob Evans' brother. Little known fact.
I don't think that's true.
Famed restaurateur. Yeah. Bob Evans.
Yeah, he's a regular, Eric Repair, that yep. guy. As in, Bob that's where you take your Erics when they're broken. To Eric Repair. Anyway, I'll show myself out. So, the scouting party goes to a mountain cave on Broke Tooth Mountain, which I guess is the ancient Transylvanian version of Brokeback Mountain. And I expected Dracula and his men just to fall in love and start doing it right there.
Do some impaling.
Yeah, tell their wives that they were going on a ye old fishing trip, but that didn't happen. Do some impaling. I just heard that. It took that like a brontosaurus with a. Its nerve and the nerve impulse going from its tail to its head. It took a long time for me to hear that joke. They found
it's because your brain was trying to protect you from it.
Yeah, a cloud of bats escaped from the cave.
No, you're right. There's a lot of clouds of bats.
There's
in
a
this
lot
movie.
Of bat clouds. So don't laugh every time I mention them because there's a lot of bat clouds. And they find themselves in what seems to be an abattoir of men. There's just bones everywhere, and some kind of horrible creature kills all of Vlad's men. Before he cuts it with his sword or reflects the sunlight onto it with his sword and it runs away. I don't know. Anyway, Vlad goes back home and a local monk tells him, hey, you were fighting a vampire in there. Don't go back. It's a guy who was cursed to eat blood forever and now he's a demon or something. Vlad the Impaler has a fine time with his wife joking around and he pulls her into a bathtub with him. Then it's Easter. Well, just...
Wait, hold on.
What?
It was Easter?
Yeah.
All right.
They mentioned that.
They're not like looking for eggs or nothing. It's Middle Ages. They didn't
Middle
do
Ages.
That shit yet.
Easter all existed. Right. They're all Christians.
Yeah, all right. I just didn't notice that.
I mean, just because they weren't biting the heads off chocolate bunnies doesn't mean it's not Easter. And they're
they weren't
he
singing
and his,
Peter Cottontail or nothing.
That's not even an Easter song.
Critters 2 wasn't going on around them or anything.
Just because they didn't sit back and what, watch football or something? I don't know. What happens during Easter?
Not a lot. There's chocolate. There's more chocolate in the CVS than usual.
Yeah, just because in the next scene we didn't see Dracula buying half-price Peeps at CVS doesn't mean it wasn't Easter.
Oh, it's a good deal.
You have to wait for after the holiday. Again, I'm turning into a Nazi.
I like to sink my teeth into them and suck the marshmallow out from
children.
Just leave a husk of sprinkles.
Children of the sugar, what a beautiful tastes they make. No. I don't eat Peeps. Yes, I do. Ow.
I guess that was Dracula for Peeps. This is a really weird. This is a weird ad concept, Don Draper.
No. Here's the thing. Peeps is an old Greek word meaning an unhealed vampire. What do we all want to make a peep? We all want to make a sound. We all want to be heard, but no one's heard. That's why we need our Peeps.
I don't know.
They talk. When we can't. And who also talks when we can't? Vampires.
Dracula.
Is this what they taught you growing up in that brothel? I don't understand.
Whenever I was a young boy, I'd help the prostitutes steal from the men, from their pockets. They'd give me a dollar and I'd spend it on Peeps. And then I'd bite into the Peeps' neck and suck the cream out, pretending I was a vampire. That was the happiest moment of my life.
You're a real creep, Don. Get out. Get out of here.
A creep for Peeps. And that's the slogan we've been working on that I think you're going to like. Be a creep for Peeps. And you got a big picture of Dracula biting a peep. He's got a ghoulish smile on his face as if to say, I want to suck your blood, but I want Peeps more. Another good tagline. Okay, how about this?
You've already lost the account.
A young couple runs into a churchyard, perhaps to make love, away from the prying eyes of the community. They have with them a basket of that greatest aphrodisiac. Easter Peeps. Because what puts us in the mood more than a tiny marshmallow chicken? Now, or canary or whatever it is. We see a shadow hulking after them, stalking them. Is it the groundskeeper? No, it's Dracula. He rears up. They run off frightened, leaving their Peeps behind. And he looks at the camera and says, well, I got what I wanted, bites the head off a peep. Dracula, he's creeps for Peeps.
Roger, can you do something about this? Can you rein in your buddy?
I'm not drunk, you're drunk. Dracula for Peeps. Let's get out of here, Vlad. Anyway, that's the last episode of Mad Men. I hope we didn't spoil it for anybody. So, while they're celebrating Easter with his wife and his son named Ingeris, a bunch of soldiers come in and he says, oh, I have your tribute. And he says, no, we're taking children now. We want a tribute of 1,000 boys, including your son, Vlad.
It's one of those bad guys who shows up and just is like, every time he says a line, he has this like shit-eating grin like, ah, you hero, you're never going to stop me.
The villagers all love Vlad because he keeps the peace, and the Ottomans all like really resent him, and they're very smug about it.
Yeah,
and I didn't like that.
And the Ottomans are mainly more white blonde guys.
Yes, the Ottomans, by the way, except for their leader,
who are all armed with like Klingon batlets.
Yeah, they do all have Klingon battle axes. What are they called? Batlets.
Mm-hmm.
And the leader is Howard Stark from the Marvel series, mm-hmm. Except they darked up his skin and he has kind of an accent.
Yeah.
And whenever he walks, he swaggers so much that he's just throwing his shoulders around. He is – every step is perpendicular to the last step. It's amazing.
Yeah. His acting coach is the cartoon Brad Pitt from Cool World.
Such a specific reference.
That was great. That was good stuff. You go with that.
Okay, bye guys.
Vlad refuses. Then he decides maybe I will submit my son as a tribute. Then he decides he won't, and he kills all these bad guy soldiers. He chops the hands off of one.
Yeah, he's like just about to do it, and then the bad guy has to say one more shitty thing.
Yeah. Vlad says there's no way we can stop this Ottoman army, so he goes to Broketooth Mountain to talk to the vampire. In, I would say, one of the two entertaining scenes in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The bad vampire is played by, what's his name?
Charles Dance.
Charles Dance, mm-hmm. Tyrion Lannister from Game of Thrones, whereas you reminded us, the assassin
guy
from Last Action Hero.
Yeah, with the weird, like, gun sight contact lenses.
And he's all dressed up like...
Those are contact lenses? I thought it was like a fake eye.
Is it? I don't remember.
Well, in real life, it was
a contact. Let's just watch Last Action Hero.
Yeah, pause the recording. Let's go watch LAH, and then we'll get back to this, as the fans call it. Hero heads. Lasters, they also call themselves.
Blasters?
Lasters. Okay. Blaster is a big guy that you ride on top of in the Thunderdome.
Okay.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Master Blaster.
That's what I was just talking about.
Okay.
So Charles Dance is
Charles
in this
Dance,
movie.
He's all pale with a black shroud over him. He looks like Scryer, one of the worst Spider-Man characters ever created. Okay. So that's one for the spiderweb heads. And he kind of is way creepier and more interesting, to me at least, than Dracula has been through the entire movie and from any point after. There's something inhumanly evil about him, like a guy who's lived in a cave forever just eating people, like a descent monster.
Yeah, even though he basically just shows up to deliver exposition.
Yeah, and
he does
offer,
it with more panache and character than anything else.
And to
movie.
Offer a devilish deal.
You make a good
play.
Point, which is how does he eat people in that cave? Does he just like order a bunch of takeout and then just feed on the takeout guy?
He is essentially, to this movie, what the Sarlacc is to Return of the Jedi. He is a big open hole in a place nobody goes, yeah. And somehow he manages to survive on that.
Yeah. I mean, and like we see him like the first time our
I mean,
hero
he lives in Broke Tooth
to
Mountain. It's
him.
Beautiful there. There's got to be a shitload of hikers.
Our hero manages to avoid him the first time he encounters him. So yeah. Like he's got to be like, ah, oh, stupid vampire. Oh, I fucked up again. Well, it looks like I'm not going to eat for another year.
I love the idea of a vampire who beats himself up a lot in private.
And he calls himself vampire.
You're the stupid Dracula.
You're the worst vampire. Idea for children's book, The Worst Vampire.
Yeah, because he tries
idea
to see
for
himself.
Book, Bunnicula. What if I was a bunny?
That was a thing. Does he drink blood or just eat vegetables? What the
Bunnicula
fuck's going
on? Yeah. Sucks Bunnicula the juice
would, yeah,
out of vegetables.
He would drain vegetables.
What is scary about that?
Well, yeah,
it's
I don't
not
know why
really
the,
a scary book.
I'm not really sure. Well, no,
it's a funny book.
I'm not sure why the other pets were freaked funny? Out by it, though, because they were not in any immediate danger.
It's
from this
creepy.
Vegetarian. Rabbit.
Look, Count Duckula was a vegetarian too. It doesn't mean that guy wasn't always trying to kill him.
Ketchup? Would he? Ketchup? That was his thing, right?
He liked tomatoes and ketchup and stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did Darkwing Duck and Count Duckula ever have a crossover?
I wish. I don't think they did, but that would have been great, considering they were from two different companies and continents. But
Duckula
you know.
Was the Danger Mouse people, right? The same company.
I think so. It was a similar. It was English and a similar animation.
The thing I would love about a self-hating vampire is the fact that he can't even have that scene where he looks in the mirror and berates
know,
himself.
He can't see himself. But in this movie, he can. There's a whole scene. I'll skip ahead where Dracula's fighting. And he's watched in the reflection of a sword, which he shouldn't be able to do, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, the vampire says to Vlad, I'm going to give you a taste of my blood. I'm going to give you some of my blood, quoting the title of the great Theodore Sturgeon novella, Some of My Blood, a modern vampire story. If you haven't read it, it's a fantastic book. He says, I'm going to give you some of my blood to drink.
Just drink it out of this broken skull.
Drink it out of this skull top. You'll have 3 days of total vamping. If you can avoid drinking someone else's blood in that 3 days,
seems
which
easy.
You're going to want to do.
Seems totally easy. Doable.
Then you know what? The trial period is over. You get to return the vampire powers. We keep a peaceful kingdom as my gift to you.
Stu, once you got that in your head, like once you're thinking about drinking blood, all you want to do is drink blood. Like that's
one thing I can't do is drink blood. I'll be fine.
Like if I told you right now you can't drink any blood, like you're just going to
I'm
going to
drink all your
it.
Blood.
You're jonesing for that sweet blood.
I that's see basically
you,
what happens.
I can see you looking at me right now like I'm turning into a big chicken leg in front of your face.
But instead of a chicken leg, you're just a giant pulsing vein.
Or a blood
I'm
sausage.
A blood sausage would make sense.
Yeah, I'm like one of those bags of plasma.
That you would have in like an IV.
Plasma blag.
Yeah, plague.
Yeah, a plasma blast.
A plasma bag.
That's what the nurse says. We're going to hook you. We're just going to give you a plasma blast.
That's the Doritos extreme version of blood bags.
Nurse, blast him with 20 cc's of plasma. They just turn it in a super soaker.
What a
and
cool
shoot
hospital.
Into your mouth.
Nurse. It's not going to get into his veins if you shoot it in his mouth. That's just
it'll get in there eventually.
No, it's going to pass through his intestinal system. He's just going to shit that blood right out.
Cindy, after this dirt bike accident, just take me to the extreme hospital.
We're going to blast you full of plasma, man. We're going to
new ectoplasma blasts.
We're going to set this bone to the extreme, radical. This is some radical surgery. It's the same surgery, but I got my hat on backwards. And there's a slingshot in my scrubs. Anyway, so Vlad takes the deal. He says, this is going to give me the power to fight off the Ottomans, and I won't drink any blood for 3 days, so the joke's on you, vampire. And the vampire says something like, if you become a vampire, I'll be freed from my curse, and I can leave this cave and get use you as a tool to get revenge on my captors. This is not mentioned again until the last seconds of the movie. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's dumb. But yeah. Anyway, Vlad goes, he wakes up in a riverbed, and he has the moment in every superhero movie where he discovers what his powers are by bumbling around and crumbling rocks in his hand and healing real fast and falling into a stream and shit. Anyway.
Bumbling and stumbling.
He's bumbling and stumbling. He's tripping and ripping. He is groping and poping.
But whereas in like a superhero movie, it's that moment of like childlike wonder at like, oh, wow, I have powers now. This is silly because it's like, I'm a vampire now, I guess.
Yeah, there's a big downside to what he can do. But so he goes back to his home. And the Ottomans show up, and mm-hmm. Vlad...
And they're like, we invented this new thing. You put your legs on it. It's like, I don't want to hear about it.
That's.
Yeah. I'll just pull a chair up.
Vlad goes out and kills the
whole
army.
I'll pull up this cat bed I bought.
I'll just get a bale of hay.
I put my legs up on my son, the son that I'm not giving to you.
Crouch down here. Let me put my legs on your back.
How we've always done it.
Why
here.
Do you think I didn't give him to you? Because I want to put my legs on him. So the Ottomans apparently follow ninja rules, which mm-hmm. is that an entire army of people circles the one hero and fights him one-on-one.
Until they're all totally
until they're
dead.
All dead. They're all deadified. And so you have an army of people is racing towards a castle. Vlad walks out to meet them, and instead of a few guys stopping to fight Vlad as the other guys run to the castle, everyone circles around him.
They're like, one guy? Let's go kill him.
This is going to be the sweetest murder of all. And then he totally destroyifies them with his vampire powers. He's turning into a cloud of bats. He picks up their swords and stabs them a lot. And Stuart, as you pointed out, at one point he says, men don't fear swords, they fear monsters. But then he just uses his monster powers to be a great sword fencer and stab them with swords.
If there's one thing I've heard about medieval soldiers is that they always choose to fight the toughest thing possible instead of fighting the wimps and the ladies that are stuck in the castle.
Yeah. If I was one of those Ottoman soldiers, I am rushing towards the castle. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to deal with that guy. Let me go to the castle, kill everybody in there, take it over, close the gates. Dracula can't get in and stop me.
Maybe if they'd thrown out a scene where like somebody said like, hey, kill that guy, I'll give you 100, I don't know, Ottoman credits. What do they use?
Ot bucks.
Or if his like armor was made out of gold or...
If there was some reason that they had for wanting to go after him specifically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't happen. Anyway, he says to his guys, I just destroyed a whole army. Let's evacuate and get out of here. They mm-hmm. go to a different castle, which is this crazy monastery. And
it is a kooky monastery.
On the way there, there's
all the monks are doing crazy things.
There's a Romani who goes like, hey, I know you're a vampire. You want to drink my blood? And he's like, no, that's cool. They go to the monastery, and unfortunately, there's an ambush by soldiers, and Vlad shows up and does the stealth thing where he's a cloud of bats killing bad guys one by one, even though there's a battle already.
Yep.
The fact that he has superpowers makes everyone think he's a vampire, which he is. Mm-hmm. They try to kill him by burning him alive. This is his own people, but he escapes, and he says, I only became a vampire so I could save you jerks. The Ottoman army.
Look at yourselves. Who's the real monster?
Yeah, check your own selves. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Check your privilege.
Check your living non-undead privilege. Mm-hmm. I can't walk around in the sun. You take that for granted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The police stop me wherever I go. You know what it's like to walk into a store and be followed around by the Van Helsing they hired to keep vampires from stealing stuff and biting the customers?
That's right.
I can't eat pizza with garlic on it. I got to eat it with sweet onions, and it's terrible.
Steph, walk a mile in my vamp boots. You'll know what it's like. Fly a mile in my cloud of bats.
I have to be invited in to go anywhere, and no one's going to invite me
I've never been invited to the bathroom at the public library, so I can't use it.
I can't cross running water. All water's running, dudes.
Well, that's not true.
Stuart handily. See what happens just by checking his phone. He throws out a patently false thing, and then he's just like, wait, hold
now
on.
I'm double checking on Wikipedia.
Going on
look,
my phone.
I can't look at myself in the mirror. I have to take it for granted that my hair looks good. Mm-hmm. Nobody tells me.
Or you just, it looks excellent. It's like
if I have something stuck in my
teeth. I mean, he looks amazing, dude.
I can have something stuck in my teeth. forever. Because I'm going to be alive forever, and I can't look in a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough being a vampire.
I mean, you could ask somebody. You could ask one of your Renfields or whatever.
This reminds me of another. I talked about a stand-up bit I used to do earlier. This reminds me of a sketch I wrote once about after the tribute for Hurricane Katrina, where they were trying to raise money.
Hilarious.
The one where instead it was a tribute for the now homeless monsters of New Orleans. It was very dumb, but it was had Dracula saying that George Bush doesn't care about vampire people. So anyway, I was young. So
trenchant.
Oh yeah, it was real satire. The point is, guess what?
Eventually, everybody's like, "Okay, Dracula, you can help us fight this army."
The Ottomans attack again. A lot of this movie is Ottoman armies attacking and Dracula just plowing through them, never getting threatened by them. Really, no. In this case, the Ottoman army attacks and Dracula unleashes his biggest attack yet. We call it the Bat Fist. He collects a swarm of like a million bats, and then he, like a conductor or a power glove, he controls them with his fist while they form the shape of a giant fist and are just punching the Ottoman
army.
I think
it's a fist. It's really tough to say. This movie's pretty dark.
Yeah, it's very dimly lit.
And by dark, I mean dark and gritty. Like a real Drac Man Returns.
So, like, how much force do you think, like, a
I
bunch
thought you were about
individual...
to say foreskin for some reason.
How much foreskin do you think Dracula has? Like, a lot?
What do you mean
or
force?
Do you think because he's dead, it's probably...
Yep, no, because he's dead, it's grown to epic lengths.
No, I thought, because he's dead, he's... Because
after you die, similar to your fingernails, your foreskin continues to grow.
No, when you become a vampire, you go down to hell. Lucifer, or maybe Behemiel, or one of his guys, cuts off your foreskin.
Asmodeus takes it and makes a necklace out of it.
And they go, we're going to keep this as collateral. If you want your foreskin back, fix your part of the deal.
No, I'm just saying.
Which is to be a bad guy, I guess.
Even if it's a bunch of bats, like.
Oh, no. They
how
hit
much
with
force?
The force of an artillery shell.
Yeah.
They literally.
Even if it's a bunch of bats?
Even if it's a bat bunch.
The bat bunch. I mean, I could see maybe.
Story of a lovely bat bringing up three very lovely bats. Then they met a bat.
Nope.
He had three bats.
Nope.
They formed the bat bunch. The bat bunch. The bat bunch.
Mm-mm. I mean, it really seems like controlling bats, like your top power would be like, oh, yeah, rabies.
Or
you're
like
going to get
the,
rabies.
Well, he's so big on
lady's hair. Yeah.
He's so busy on his bat slapping that he forgot to protect the monastery because some dudes climb up and start killing his wife and people.
Yeah, some soldiers come in through the back door, which apparently they decided not to guard. Mm-hmm. And they kill his wife and kidnap his son. Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Bum, bum, bum. And they manage to kill pretty much everybody in the castle.
Yeah.
Dracula almost saves his wife. She plummets from a tower, and he catches her. Ooh, too late. And she
in
begs him.
A great scene.
In a not very good scene. He is
slow motion
himself,
falling. A lot of shots of faces.
Enya style chorus on the soundtrack. And Dracula is trying so hard that he's like, ah, and his teeth are getting longer. He's exerting his bat power so much. Mm-hmm. And his wife, who knew he was a vampire already.
She doesn't care, though. She's all about him.
She's all because he's totally ripped.
Yeah. And he's not even scarred up anymore now that he's a drac.
His scars healed with his vamp powers. She says, suck my blood so you can get the power you need to save our son. And he reluctantly does it. Uh-oh. Within the three-day limit, now he's a full-blown vamp attack. The other vampire lives
and
in the cave.
Charles dances out of the cave.
Charles dances. It does a two-step. Does the Batusi out of the cave and flaps away to wherever.
Yeah, he flies away to the end of the movie.
Anyway, the Dracula finds a bunch of his people are still alive, and he goes, hey, you want revenge? He totally vampifies them. Dracula goes to the camp where the Ottoman leader is, and his son is being kept. He and his vampire soldiers arrive and are just cutting through everybody, mowing down the Ottomans.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to confront the lead bad guy.
After a lightning storm like that THX logo.
Not the THX logo. That's the Don Simpson logo.
What's the one with the bunch of lightning bolts? And then all of a sudden it's like and the music swells and then it's like this thing.
No, yeah, it's the Don Simpson one, right?
Yeah, the Don Simpson fine. And Jerry Bruckheimer logo? Yeah. Because Don Simpson's dead. I forgot to mention that.
Mm-hmm.
He died about 20 years
ago. So if anyone out there hadn't heard that, I'm sorry.
This is not how I wanted you to hear that the producer of Top Gun died. He did Top Gun, right?
Yeah.
Maybe
it's
Days of Thunder.
I don't know.
Or both.
Was he the artist like the for Cracked magazine?
The no, movies before
Don Martin.
The movies before Don Simpson died and the movies after Don Simpson died are not that much different. So the Simpson Bruckheimer, like,
I guess so, yeah.
Like, it all blends.
Oh, no, Bruckheimer continued the legacy.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, Dracula walks towards him super cool with a bunch of lightning bolts flying around him, like Storm is there too.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally gets to the tent where his son's being held by the lead bad guy, but uh-oh. There are bags of silver everywhere, and vampires can't take silver.
Because so he has to count up every single piece?
No, he's not a Chinese vampire. Okay. That's what happens with the and tip for if you're being chased by a Chinese vampire, pull that handful of rice out of your pocket and throw it on the ground, and then run away, because he's got to count it all.
That will foil the Guanxi.
It's also going to be easy to run away, because he hops after you.
Mm-hmm.
They're weird vampires.
I don't know, dude. Hopping's pretty fast.
Nope.
No.
Maybe the least fast way to locomote, I mean, without wriggling on your belly.
Yeah, if you're a bunny, maybe. That's the only thing that hops.
If it's a bunicula, then it's going to hop after you.
Oh, do you think bunicula is based on the Guanxi myth from Chinese mythology?
I doubt it.
I don't know. I could see I could see someone being like, oh, that's interesting. A hopping vampire?
And I'll make it about a vampire.
A no, wait, hold on. Yeah. A hopping vampire?
Honey, lock the door. I got to write this book.
Lock the door.
Yeah, don't let anybody in.
Honey, lock the door from the outside and don't let me out. No matter how much I scream until I finish this book about a vampire bunny.
Bunicula and sell it to Avon Books. The kids' book fairs are coming up. They're going to need to order these along with their Garfield treasuries.
Chooses your own adventures.
And who names their kid Beezus, for God's sakes?
Ramona, that's on the borderline. That's on the cusp. But Beezus?
I feel so bad for all those kids who were named Beezus after that book came out.
Oh, yeah, because that's when a generation after the book came out, so there was an explosion in kids named Beezus.
Yeah, I've read Freakonomics, dude.
Just like all those kids named Super Fudge.
It sounds like a hillbilly trying to pluralize bees. All these bees are flying after me.
Bees is already plural.
All these bees is all over me. These bees, they're stinging me.
Ramona,
oh no.
Ramona, get away from those bees. You're going to be totally stingified. The stingification process. Anyway.
Like I'm in the room with Kevin Spacey's character from House of Cards.
Yo, because our southern accents are so bad. So Drac is in a room full of silver coins. It hurts him, but he finds the strength to fight back. He turns into a crowd of bats. He kills the bad guy, saves his son, whoopity-doo. But uh-oh, all of his village people are now vampires, and they want to eat his son.
The
because
Native
now,
American, mm-hmm. the construction worker, the police.
Especially
biker,
him.
The biker. Why especially the construction worker?
Because he works out in the sun all day, and he totally wants to eat kids.
Wait, what?
He gets so hungry.
But it was part of the village people's backstory was that they're cannibals. Did we forget to mention that?
Yeah.
The village they are is a village of cannibals. I think it's pretty
good. What if it's the village of the damned people?
Okay.
And they're gay icons who can also read your mind.
Okay, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And they know you want to hear YMCA
that
again.
Could
in
be
England,
on,
they're called the Norwich Cuckoos.
That could be on some kind of t-shirt, I think. Some kind of like geek-friendly t-shirt is a village people, village of the damned mashup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I can see that. Somebody make
so
it.
So like
make
shirt
money.
Woot, give us money.
Go to Cafe Press or something. And
go to nerdshirts.com. Whatever.
Go to mashupshit.com.
Go to aquafan.com.
Tell them if you've tried sex in underwater.
Yeah, let us know.
That's a deep cut, Stuart. That's for the real super fans or super fudges. Look, whatever it takes.
The real Baniculas out there.
So was Super Fudge the last fudge of a dying planet who came here and our yellow sun melted him into superpowers?
Yeah, I think you're being charitable with the super part of that name.
Now, what if...
Good Fudge would have been a better name.
There's a Super Fudge Bunicula crossover where they get merged together to become a chocolate rabbit for Easter.
It's like the end of Tetsuo the Iron Man.
Yeah, where they merge into that giant penis tank and run rampant through the streets of Tokyo. How weird must that have been for bystanders to just see that running through the streets with a guy with like a 16 millimeter camera just running after it, shaking the camera all over? Do you think they would have just been like, It's a living.
Then they go buy some soiled panties out of a vending machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Cultural stereotypes.
I mean, mine was an accurate description of the movie, but anyway.
We're so close to the end.
The other vampires want to eat his son. He says, no go, bros. And he stabs one of them through the heart, and that guy totally explodifies.
Mm-hmm.
Then a monk shows up with a cross. He says, I'm going to save your son, and he takes him away. The son comes out and kills down all the vampires.
And some great slow motion vampire melting.
One guy is running while each of his limbs is exploding, and it looks hilarious. But then we see the Romany gypsy from earlier give some of his blood to Dracula, reviving him. And I forgot to mention that this was all narrated in the opening and closing by Dracula's son, even though he then disappears because we flash forward to modern day where Vlad, who's just out walking around enjoying a nice day on the town, meets a woman who looks named Mina, who looks just like his wife. And they have a conversation about poetry and then split up. And from afar, Charles Dance is watching, and he says, let the games begin, and then walks off. End of movie. Sequel in the making. Dracula told.
Mm-hmm. So that was great. You did a great job there, Elliot.
Thanks.
I give you two fangs out of two fangs.
Thanks. That's the highest rating. Two fangs, yeah, well, unless they've got multiple heads. So here's what I'm going to say the main problems with this movie. One, okay. Super boring. Only two scenes I enjoyed, which
was too scarifying for you.
Oh, it was way too scarifying.
It was boring because he kept looking at the insides of his hands.
Yeah. My problem was that much of my chair went unused because I only sat on this on the edge. But there's two scenes that I enjoyed. One, because I found it genuinely interesting when he talks to the old vampire. One, because it was super goofy, which was the bat fist fight scene.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it was very boring, and I just have a real issue with the idea that there needs to be an origin story for Dracula. He's an evil, decadent prince who becomes a vampire.
Oh, he's decadent, all right. I really shouldn't have any of this Dracula. Like, it's so bad.
It's called Dracula by Chocolate. There's been a lot of chocolate talk in this episode.
Chalk talk. Count Chocula.
The Chalk House. We haven't even mentioned Count Chocula, the perfect fusion of chocolate and vampire.
He's now more chocolate now than vampire.
For so long to find
now,
that.
If this was Chocula Untold, I would have loved it.
It would have been great.
I want to know how he became what he is. How did he become friends with Boo Berry and Frank and Berry.
And the fruit brute.
And the yummy mummy. The fruit brute is the werewolf.
Yummy mummy. And what's the Hunchback of Notre Breakfast. What about the Phantom of the Cereal Bowl?
The creature from the
Milk Black, Lagoon.
The Milk Lagoon, yeah.
Makes sense.
Then the Milkaluna Mutant. Lesser known universal monster, but he's still in there. He's from the 50s. It's a later stage. Here's the thing. Dracula is not essentially interesting to me until he's a vampire spreading his plague of darkness throughout the globe. So it's like I don't want to – it's the same way that like – I'm not interested in a movie about, like, the young James Bond, necessarily. Mm-hmm. I want to see a movie about James Bond having adventures.
Yeah, you don't want to watch, like, Braveheart, but find out that Braveheart becomes a vampire midway through.
Yeah.
That's basically what this was, yeah.
I feel like we are in Final Judgments right now, and I feel like Elliot is entering a writ of bad, bad.
I'd like to submit a writ of bad, bad-attitude.
And when we were looking it up, you said that it was originally going to be Alex Proyas and Sam Worthington.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which at least, like, I feel like Alex Proyas would have made it a little more interesting to watch. It wouldn't have been a good movie.
No, but it would have had more
And Sam
style.
Worthington would have been certainly just as boring
as
Luke
anything,
Evans.
That's a movie that could have been batshit crazy.
Oh, because the vampires.
Whereas this was just kind of dull.
Yeah.
Like, there are lots of dull vampire movies, and I'm always surprised by it because vampires are inherently interesting. You're talking to a guy who was wearing Dracula socks at work yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. I can attest to that.
Like, vampires are – I like vampires. They're interesting to me, but apparently it's very easy to make them boring.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to say we were looking up the list. There's only been a few good Dracula movies. There's Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
The Bela Lugosi one.
Yeah.
There's, what is it, House of Dracula? Is that the Christopher Lee one?
Horror of Dracula.
Horror of Dracula.
I mean, there's a lot of Christopher Lee ones, but the first one, Horror of Dracula, is the best of them.
There's the two Nosferatus.
Yeah.
The Which was Murnau
the,
one.
That was the sequel to Chinatown, wasn't it? Yeah. The two Nosferatus.
It's the F.W. Murnau. And there's the Werner Herzog. And then, of course, Dracula and the Monster Squad. Those are the best movies.
I bet there's some good ones. I'm gonna look
it
up.
Elliot still says Dracula Dead and Loving It's on there.
Mm-hmm.
Only the first half before it loses its way.
I'm loving it, says Elliot about Dracula Dead and Loving
That
It.
Was I remember seeing that in the theater and being so disappointed in it.
That was Vampire in Brooklyn for me.
But yeah, this is an attempt to be like, okay, how can we make Dracula every other boring like fantasy movie? Like, we might as well be watching
the 70s Dracula is okay. I don't know. Frank Langella.
Fucking, what was the? We've watched so many sword and sandals
this
things.
Feels
like
so,
this
yeah.
is like one of those.
It things. Is so by the numbers medieval sword.
It's like somebody watched the 90s Bram Stoker's Dracula from Coppola and were like, you know, the most exciting part was the first 5 minutes of backstory. Let's just make a whole movie of that garbage.
Yeah, so I think we're all bad bads for this.
Let's bad bad it up.
Bad bad.
And Dracula Pages from a Virgin's Diary. There's a one dance number in that goes too long, but otherwise I think it's a very good movie.
The Elephant Magician.
Merle Highchurch here, the master of clerical magic.
I'm Magnus Burnsides, the fighter.
Did you guys like that? Did you, the listener, like that? You were just swept up in a world of high fantasy and magic where anything can happen and anything is possible. Hi, I'm Griffin McElroy, Dungeon Master for The Adventure Zone, a new podcast on Maximum Fun, in which magic and mystery intertwine for a very erotically charged role-playing experience. You can catch it every other Thursday here on MaximumFun.org or iTunes. It's for Dungeons & Dragons, but with family.
But we do have a sponsor for tonight, and for that, ooh, I cede the microphone and the floor to one Stu Art Wellington.
Hey, guys. My name's Stuart Wellington. You know, coming up, we got a little thing called Mother's Day. That's going to be coming up on May 10th. And
Dia
you know what?
De los Muertos, or Day of the Mothers.
Yep, I think that's perfect Spanish, Elliot. So I think right now is a great time for you to hit up our friends over at proflowers.com and order some flowers for your mom. They're offering Flophouse listeners 100 blooms and a free glass vase for only $19.99. All you have to do is go over to their website, and which is proflowers.com, and there's in the top right corner, there's going to be a little blue microphone. You're going to move your little mouse thing over there. You're going to click on it.
And then said mouse thing when mouse is just the word.
And then a little blurb is going to open up, and then you're going to type in with your fingers. You're going to type in the word Flophouse. Now, that's going to give you that deal.
And that's one word, Flophouse.
Flophouse.
Do not put a space in there.
Not
even
three
though we
words,
put a space in there for
word.
Our title, for the code, the coupon code, it's one word, Flophouse.
So I think on Mother's Day, you want to get a phone call from your mom that says, are you apologizing for something? Do you have some splaining to do?
Mm-hmm.
And your response
is,
no, I just got you flowers because I love you, Mom.
That is the best. So do right by your mother. Do right by America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the Flophouse.
And the Flophouse.
Deadly do right. It's a great character.
And order some flowers from ProFlowers. There's also chocolates you can get through there.
Mm-hmm. I think they're associated with Sherry's Berries.
Yeah. And it's just a good gift for Mother's Day, for any day.
Because mm-hmm.
you know what? Every day is Mother's Day. No flowers.
I mean, factually inaccurate, but in our hearts, it's true.
So that's proflowers.com, blue microphone, type Flophouse, all one word.
All one word. You'll be helping support us, and you'll be helping support moms.
And
if you have issues with your mom, don't want to send her flowers, send it to somebody else.
Send it to the Flophouse.
Don't care.
There's no law that ProFlowers is only going to deliver to moms. ProFlowers is like, give me an address, I'll send them a bunch of flowers.
Yeah, that's our job. That's what they say.
And we do it well. We're pros mm-hmm. at flowers.
So
ProFlowers.com.
So
rated R.
Some Flophouse news here, which is that we have new merchandise available, guys.
New merch.
Yeah. The URL.
Instead of having to go to like a merch table after a Flophouse show and talk to some scuzzy dude who's like, hey, what do you want to buy? We're out of almost everything.
I mean, probably our wives would work the merch table.
Then. Yep. So scuzzy dudes. And now you can just go on the internet and buy them.
Yeah. Now, the URL is too complex to read here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bunch of, you know,
so
internet.
So go to Dan's Twitter feed.
No, here's what you do. Go to FlophousePodcast.com. and click on the merch link. That'll take you right there.
Or
go to Topotico, click on Browse by Creator, and click on Maximum Fun for the Max Fun merch store.
Or do what I did. I Googled Maximum Fun t-shirt.
Sure. All these are fine.
There's a link
choices.
From the Max Fun site, too.
I mean, again, easiest thing, go to flophousepodcast.com, click on merch, yeah. Take you right
while
there.
While you're there, leave a comment on one of our episodes, say, you guys suck, or you're hilarious, who cares?
I don't think you can do that on the site, but sure, why not?
You can leave comments on the Flophouse site.
Oh, well, yeah, on the Flophouse site, not on the Topatico merchandise
Will
site.
Will you listen
Have
to
you
what
even
Stuart
tried?
Said?
You're right, Stuart, I haven't tried. Until I try it.
Don't
I really
knock it till you try it. There's a reason that phrase exists, because you shouldn't knock on a door until you've tried the door to make sure it opens.
Mm-hmm. Until you've eaten part of that door in a Hansel and Gretel style.
Don't knock until you try it is the life mission statement of aquafan.com. Mm-hmm.
So speaking of which, Radio Zork listeners, if you try to eat the door, if you...
First off, that's a great choice.
If you merely lick the door to see if it's worth eating... B. If you try your key on the lock again, C. Right on in. Next week we'll have the results and we'll move forward one more step in Radio Zork.
So this new merchandise, let me paint you a picture of what's available.
A lot of word
your
pictures.
Your last one was so successful.
You can get a Rocket Crocodile in the World of Tomorrow t-shirt.
It looks amazing.
From a design by fan Tristan Marsh.
I think maybe I've seen this movie.
Well, you couldn't because it doesn't exist and I'm making it up as I go along. That was for the fans.
There is also a Wait What Come On shirt designed by my brother, John. That would be John McCoy.
It looks great also, and of all the shirts that you're going to buy from the Flophouse, that's the one we'll get the least questions. What the hell is on your shirt?
Yeah. It crossover appeal.
Any occasion. Funerals, weddings, birthdays.
Yep.
Funeral
birthdays.
Funeral birthdays or funeral weddings for a vampire maybe. Yeah. Or a corpse bride.
And there's also a lovely print of Ye Olde Flophouse where I'm a ranger. I believe Stu is a paladin. Yeah. And Elliot is a bard. And it's suitable for framing. From a design by fan Mallory Quinn.
Also looks great. It's all great looking Flophouse merch. High quality, high standards. And I noticed that some of the stuff is already running low because of orders. So it's an order now.
Yeah. I mean, they're pretty good at replenishing things. But yeah, if you don't want to delay, order now.
If you're tired of having to go to the laundry all the time, buy 7 of these shirts.
Yeah.
You'll be good for a week.
Yeah, just right on the tag, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yep. You can maybe take some of those.
You do it like this, like Apollonia and Godfather. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
That's you can take a couple of those, a couple of those Big Dogs t-shirts out of rotation.
Yeah.
Get rid of your co-ed naked lacrosse shirt. Put in a Flophouse shirt.
Yeah. Your wardrobe will thank you. I also want to plug that I forgot to mention this last week. I have a humor piece in the geek humor comic series, The Devastator. Which is sort of
Devastator.
Like, it's sort of like a cooler and less well-paying Mad Magazine.
Okay.
And you can go to devastatorpress.com/horror because it is a all horror themed issue. And you can get for $10 a physical copy of this. $3 a digital download, and you can also just search for Devastator and the horror issue of Devastator on Amazon.
Can I plug something?
Plug it.
I'd like to plug the day we're recording this, so you'll be hearing it a couple days after it happens. The final issue of my run of Spider-Man and the X-Men, which I think is the final issue of the series too. It turns out issue number 6 is out in stores. Wraps up the series. Wraps up a real dream come true product. Project for me, getting to work with
Devil
these characters.
Wears Prada.
Dan, you should queue up End of the Road to play right now by Boys to Men.
Or Meet You at the Crossroads by Bone Thugs and Harmony.
It's just Crossroads. Come
to the end of the road.
Now, it's bittersweet saying goodbye to these characters, but I hope people enjoy the wrap-up to the series. So pick up all 6 issues. They'll be collected in a trade, I think, this summer. But if you can't wait that long, pick up the issues. Number 6, it's out now.
Elliot's got issues. And you can have them too.
Of Spider-Man and the X-Men.
Yeah.
And with your dad.
Stuart, do you want to plug anything while we're at it? I don't know.
I don't think so. I'm opening a bar at some point. I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, maybe plug that when people can go in and buy things from it.
So now we got to move on to letters from listeners. Listeners like you, perhaps.
Oh, I got a letter. This just in, hot off the presses. I got a letter from listener John Rivet.
Again, a tweet.
He says, my birthday is tomorrow. Could you guys maybe give me some B-Day props? Of course I can, because you said B-Day instead of birthday, and that's cool.
Are you supposed to give you props just for living another year?
So here's...
Seems like the bare minimum of achievement.
You don't know what his life is like.
Props
he could
to,
live in he could live in a lair that's from a true. Video game, and there's spinning fire blades everywhere. He's got to jump out of to get to the
I'm
bathroom.
Sorry. I'm sorry for making assumptions.
So props to listener John Rivet.
Inventor of the rivet.
I love the bolts that hold buildings together that bear your name. Yeah.
So anyway, moving on.
You hold
on.
My jeans together, you hold skyscrapers together. Thank you, my friend.
Moving on to the first letter of the night.
You hold my steampunk costume together.
Letters of the night. What sweet music they make. And it goes like this. Letters of the night. Mm. It's nighttime now when letters come out. Stay inside and lock your doors unless you're ready to lead the letter life. Letter. Do you want to bang heads with me? Do you want to see everything?
Okay.
Whoa, letter, bomb, bomb. Not about to read your letter. But anyway, continue.
Okay, this is from Kyle Last Name Withheld, who writes, hi, floppers. I'm a longtime listener and first-time writer, and I think I'm in need of some clarification of my status as a Flophouse fan. I'm the guy who put you on Entertainment Weekly's must list, lo those many moons ago.
Thank you.
And thus... thrust you to international superstardom.
Thrust us in the must.
We owe everything to you. Are you calling in this favor?
Yep.
But
let the game begin. It's Charles Dance.
Oh, no. Kyle Dance.
But I'm also the guy who bought tickets to your last live event and decided to stay home and watch Ron Howard's Night Shift instead.
I can't totally fault that.
Do those two actions cancel one another out, giving me neutral karma in the eyes of the house cat? Or is indulging in a Michael Keaton / Henry Winkler / Shelley Long sex farce a crime that requires a bit more absolution? I await your judgment. Also, we're writing my review for Chappie for EW.com. All I could think about was, man, I can't wait until the Chappie episode of the Flophouse a year from now. Keep on flopping, Kyle Last Name Withheld. Now, I gotta say, Night Shift, despite having the combined talents of Michael Keaton and Henry Winkler, is a pretty bad movie.
It's very bad.
There are barely any jokes in it.
But here's the thing. The mystery of the house cat's grace is that it is not our works or the movies we watch that provide for our salvation, but in fact his own ineffable, impossible to understand choices.
No, it's true.
When I hear Eyes of the House Cat, I think of the final frame of the Michael Jackson Thriller music video.
I will say, though, in the words of the night from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, you chose poorly.
Yeah, yeah.
But thank you very much.
And that was because he drank Coke instead of Pepsi or some shit, right? Yeah, he got all melty.
He drank Pepsi, Crystal Clear Pepsi.
In that commercial, did somebody drink Coke and then they just melted? What happened in that thing?
I don't think so.
They had the commercial based on the movie, right?
Based on the movie, the commercial adaption of the movie.
I mean, Space Jam
by
is a
Alan
movie
Dean
based
Foster.
On a commercial. It could go around the other way. Alan Dean Foster needs the work. Okay.
So, thank you.
It's
though.
Called Splinter of a Pepsi's Eye.
Thank you very much, Kyle, for putting us in Entertainment Weekly. That
thank
was
you.
A huge boost.
It was
us.
A big boost. It got us into a lot of people's attention.
But
so thank you.
Moving on.
Don't watch Night Shift again.
Yeah, don't do it.
Maybe watch Graveyard Shift.
Next letter starts like this. Narrator. And little did they know that episode number 161, A Talking Cat, would lead to the devastation that we know it has today. Alluded to in the episode 160, God's Not Dead, the Floplites mentioned the new holy month, Small Timber. Yet their comical canonical confusion has led to millions of dead and a division in the House of Flop. Due to the tongue-tying nature of the month's name, two distinct factions in Flopdom appear between the Tenimbriums and Vimberites. While the puckish brother Kalen chose to alternate between the two names, Cromish convert Wellington chose to spite the one true McCoy, leaving our host baffled and flustered, as was his way. Arguing over the subtleties in the sacred text is not unusual in any religion, but this is a truly bizarre and mildly infuriating circumstance. I mean, really, what's going on here? Mike is knocked over. The professor's voice fades as he walks away. I mean, honestly, a religion based on adoration of bunts? an omnipresent all
bunts?
Parties.
Bunts? Yeah, bunts.
An omnipresent.
It's because it's pretty ballsy to bunt, and the catcher could just pick
an
up
adoration
the ball,
of
you know
butts.
So much about sports, Elliot.
An omnipresent all partying spirit called the house cat, a sacred text of words that sound like other words, and a sacred mystery of the ding dong door slams. A scene from the episode 4.
How can a ding-dong be both ripped off and not ripped off? This is the question that the text presents to us.
A scene from episode 4, The Great
Schrodinger's
Division.
Schrodinger's ding-dong.
Of the BBC documentary.
Schrodinger's freak.
Floppy, the flophouse story. That's from Nicholas, last name withheld. I guess a peek into the future of the documentary, wow. The BBC documentary made about our podcast.
I feel like Paul Atreides capturing a vision of a fatwa in his name, or a jihad in his name, that scours the galaxy.
Small timber.
It happens in September, but it's called Small Vember. Do we? Mm-hmm. Whatever happened to our theme?
What
months?
Are we talking
I feel
about?
Like we've got, we're a third of the way through the year. We haven't done any.
Well, we only have two, and they're centered around the fall. So.
Yeah, we had Cagemas, Small Vember.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there like
there's Cagemas, yeah.
Some might argue Shocktober is the
Shocktober,
original.
Yeah.
It's the high holy holidays of the Flophouse calendar.
Unlike, say, April when we watch vampire movies.
Look, April vampires bring May champires.
He's got you there.
Yeah, it's true. He proved me something.
So, moving on to the last letter of the night.
You just casually skipped the letter.
I do that every week. I'm like, we're running late. Not
oh,
this
man.
One.
So that the listeners at home can be like, was that my letter he
yeah.
skipped?
Yeah.
Who knows?
You'll never know.
You'll never
we'll
know.
We'll do it next week.
We will
on
not.
Today's episode of The Flophouse. Dan, read the letter you skipped.
Greetings, floppers. My question is mostly for Stuart.
Okay.
So, Stuart, since you are supposedly a bartender.
Supposedly.
Supposedly an English speaker. Say, someone sidled up to your bar and said, hey, Tenderfoot, give me a castle free. What would he get? Could Stuart please grace the world with the details of the preparation of the unofficial official castle free cocktail? Also, maybe you guys can riff on some better names for our new favorite adult beverage. Keep on flopping. Josh, last name withheld.
Don't give us homework.
The first thing I do if somebody sidled up the bar to me and said, I don't remember what he said.
Give me a
I would come. I'd be like, "You're a fan of the show," and then I'd come around from behind the bar and I'd give you a big hug. I'd say thanks
and a tongue kiss.
Well, I'd say like, thanks for being a friend.
This it sounds like the signature drink for your new bar has just been introduced. The Castle Freak. What's it going to be?
That's a lot of pressure. I would say it's two parts. First, I would take a Hostess Ding Dong, mm-hmm. and I would hollow it out, and I would pour straight I'd pour Drambuie with a drizzle of grenadine on top, and then I would serve it to you.
Drambuie and grenadine?
Yeah. Anyway, there's like no Kahlua in that too, or what?
I would serve it to you in a hollowed out skull.
So don't order this.
It's a terrible drink.
I mean, it's only $20.
Wow. What? The markup on these drinks.
We're talking about fancy cocktails here, guys.
Man. This is artisanal.
Yep. When I said Hostess, I meant it's a homemade ding dong made from a pantry in Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they make it look like the same way that there's a bakery in Park Slope where there used to be that made their own little Oreos and charged like $3 for each of them.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I never tasted one.
So you don't know if it was better or worse or.
Yeah. They're the same.
What about homemade Twinkies? How do you feel about that?
I mean, I don't really care. I'm not against these things.
So come back to me in a couple of years. I'll tell you then. Otherwise, come to my bar. I'll give you
spend years working in your drink lab to fine tune all the ingredients.
I imagine Stuart like down in the basement, like, nope, that combination of alcohol exploded.
Thomas Edison once said, bartending is 99% perspiration, 1% intoxication.
Yeah. So I hope that answered your question.
It was a ludicrous question. I think Stuart gave a great answer.
Yeah.
I was worried it was going to be like a white Russian with a torn off ding dong in it. That would be frightening.
It'd be horrible. A white Russian at night?
All that milk?
Yeah, gross. That's crazy. I can't handle that much dairy. Give me the toots. And I'll be drunk and tooting.
So, final segment of the evening.
We call it the toots.
Yeah, what do we do now?
We recommend movies that we liked.
I want
to
recommend a little movie.
What we'll watch tonight.
A little movie called Dracula Untold.
Oh, oh wow.
I turned around on it.
I had some time to mull it over.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen anything recently.
Well, recommend a movie from your past. You've seen thousands of movies. You must have been on a plane somewhere.
You know what? I was on a train recently.
Okay.
And, a movie about a train.
And to entertain myself on the train, I logged on to Hulu on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I rewatched.
It's a fascinating story.
I rewatched Donnie Brasco. Well,
don't throw this away. Write it down and publish it. Because this is the epic quest of our times.
I rewatched Donnie Brasco, which I think is a movie that, you know, it was.
Dan's review. Don't forget about it.
It was a critical success at the time. It got a little bit of attention, but I feel like of the gangster films, of the good gangster films out there, it's been a little forgotten. And if you want to go back and watch a movie where Johnny Depp is playing a character and not like a collection of ticks, it's a really good one.
What's his hat look like?
He doesn't have one. He has a mustache for the first part of the movie, but he shaves it very pretty quickly.
Similarly, if you want to see a movie where Al Pacino is playing a character and not just yelling at the top of his lungs.
Again, Donnie Brasco is a good choice.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting gangster film because, you know, there is violence in it. It's a gangster movie, but mostly it's a character study, and it has like kind of a rich vein of just character comedy and dark comedy in it. And it ends up being also a very touching movie about friendship and betrayal.
About one gangster pulling himself up by his bootstraps to start a successful brass company. Mm-hmm. Donnie Brasco.
Yep, that's what it's about. So see it based on Ellie's description and then be surprised.
Yeah, when it's much better than that.
But it's a Mike Newell movie, a British director who did Four Weddings and a Funeral. And I think
that screams gangster movie.
Dirty Pretty Things. I think that was him too. I'm not sure. He's a very interesting director who's had kind of a varied career of different types of projects. And so check it out, Donnie Brasco.
Hey Stu.
Hey, what's up, Elliot?
You got a movie on your mind?
Sure. I just watched this movie, Dracula Untold. It was the tits. Just kidding. No, I recently watched the movie Spring, which is kind of a horror romance. It's a low-budget movie.
I was wrong about Dirty Pretty Things. But he directed Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
You just saved yourself many angry letters.
Sorry about that. Go on.
So Spring, small budget movie about a young man who gets himself in trouble and he goes on the run and ends up in Italy, where he has this whirlwind romance with this great girl, but he realizes slowly that this girl is more than what she seems.
She's in It Follows.
I mean, the poster of the movie is a picture of a girl with a tentacle, so you can tell there's something going on. And I've heard the movie described as like a Before Sunset with a monster.
Huh.
And I think it's kind of appropriate. Like,
there is a monster in that, the natural aging process.
Time is the greatest monster of all.
Mm-hmm.
So Spring, check it out. If you like, there's not a lot of horror romance movies out there. So
Possession, maybe,
maybe.
I mean, that's not really
they're
romance.
Both, they're both slimy. I'd recommend checking it out. Spring.
I have a movie that I'd like to recommend. Mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier in the podcast, a movie called Dracula, Pages from a Virgin's Diary. That's not the movie I'm recommending. But I am recommending a movie by the same director, Guy Madden. I'm a big fan of Guy Madden. Mm-hmm. So it's strange that there's still some holes in his...
Is that the guy who does those shoes? No, that's Steve Madden, his brother.
Yeah, that's his brother. Because the two brothers went into either women's weird shoes or Canadian art film.
They each had to select a path. One chose the ball, the other chose the samurai sword.
Of course, their father, John Madden, is disappointed that neither went into sports broadcasting. I had never seen, until recently, Guy Madden's second movie, Archangel. And I saw it recently and really liked it a lot. If you've ever seen a Guy Madden movie, you know pretty much what kind of thing to expect. It's shot shot similarly to a silent film or an early 30s film. It's not silent. There's lots of sound in it, but there's also intertitles. It takes place in the city of Archangel, where a Canadian soldier who lost his leg in World War I is helping to fight off the Bolshevik army. But at least two, and I think maybe three characters get amnesia in it. There's a scene that involves some ghosts. There's a lot of strange things, and it's kind of sad and kind of very weird and kind of funny. But like any Guy Madden movie, except for Twilight of the Ice Nymphs, which is not good and is the only one of his I do not like at all. Like any Guy Madden movie, it's a very unique experience. The only thing it really resembles is his other movies. And I liked a lot. And the whole time you're watching it, you can tell this was a movie made on a very small budget that has so much imagination and so much style to it that it makes that work for it in a strange way. But I really liked it a lot. And I found it very affecting at the end in a way I didn't expect. There's one scene in it with a cactus that explodes spiders onto a boy that makes no sense. So just be ready for that scene and be ready for it to happen.
Sounds
and
horrifying.
For you to be like, I don't understand what just happened here.
Yeah.
Sounds like a nightmare that I would have.
No, it's kind of funny.
Click on the fast forward button and then hit play.
Well, no, don't fast forward. Just be ready to know that you're not really supposed to understand that scene because they screwed it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That's how Spider-Man came to be.
Yeah, he stood too close to a cactus. So Archangel.
Yeah.
Not the X-Men character.
So three
amazing movies.
Recommendations.
Mm-hmm. Dan, did you fall asleep? And then
I think during our recommendations, during
I'm zoning out. I could be the smell of skunk weed that I'm getting through. I feel like someone is smoking pot in the vicinity, and it's coming through our...
Elliot's busted.
Uh-oh, you got me. Actually, if you noticed my voice getting worse throughout the podcast, it's because my allergies to your cat are acting up.
All right, well, let's get you out of here.
High pollen count.
Let's get you out. And safely into
cats have pollen, right?
They have purrin.
Let's tuck you safely into your bed at home.
Are you going to tuck me into my bed?
Yeah, I'm going to come back with you. I'm going to put a little nightcap on you.
Oh, well, then you got to walk all the way back to
your bed. No, he's going to fly back on your bed like fucking Nemo.
Lullaby and good night for the flop house I've been. Dan McCoy.
And I'm Stu Art Wellington.
Elliot. Kaylin is my name, and that's me.
So good night, drift to sleep, and send us all your money.
We're incepting you. Good night. Lovehouse. Hit it and quit it.
Yep, we're gonna hit it and
kick
then we're
the tires and light
podcast.
Some fires.
Are we gonna slap it and map it?
Yep. Grip it and rip it.
Are we gonna
slap
right off your body?
It.
Creep it and beep it.
I'm Cameron Esposito.
I'm Rhea Butcher.
I am Ricky Carmona,
and we are the cast members. What I don't know, podcastiness of Wham Bam Pow. That's an action sci-fi movie podcast you can find on MaximumFun.org or on iTunes. And what do? News, reviews, and things you can use.
Tons of things you can use.
We break it down so it can forever be broken.
Hilarious jokes. Plus, sometimes there's a dog in the studio.
Sometimes there's a dog here.
We'll see you in your earbuds.
Okay.